From Marconi's lecture accepting the Nobel Prize, 11 December, 1909. At my home near Bologna, in Italy, I commenced early in 1895 to carry out tests and experiments with the object of determining whether it would be possible, by means of Hertzian waves, to transmit to a distance without the aid of connecting wires. My first tests were carried out with an ordinary Hertz oscillator, which used sparks to generate waves in a manner similar to Hertz's early experiments. With such apparatus, I was able to telegraph up to a distance of about half a mile. In August 1895, I discovered a new arrangement. From Submarine Telegraphs, Their History, Construction, and Working, by Charles Bright, 1898. Marconi has succeeded in making the resonator work at a distance of nearly 9 miles. It is the very latest thing in inductive telegraphy. Marconi's wireless telegraph is based on the principle of turning Hertzian waves to account in transmitting them by means of electric sparks. From Signaling Through Space Without Wires, a public lecture by Sir W. H. Preece, the Royal Institution, London, 4 June, 1897. In July last year, Mr. Marconi brought to England a new plan. Mr. Marconi utilizes electric or Hertzian waves. He has invented a new relay. Excellent signals have been transmitted across the Bristol Channel. Proceedings of the Royal Society, 28 May, 1903. The remarkable success of Marconi in signaling across the Atlantic suggests the bending of the waves round the protuberant Earth. The signals that Marconi sent were simply more powerful versions of the invisible waves, the undulations in the electric and magnetic fields that Hertz had produced in his laboratory. Since they radiated outward, they stopped being called Hertzian waves and came to be called radio waves. From the Encyclopedia Britannica, 11th edition, 1910. High power stations are now used for communicating across the Atlantic, and messages can be sent by day as well as by night. Hertzian wave telegraphy, or radio telegraphy as it is sometimes called, has a position of the greatest importance in connection with naval strategy and communication between ships. Message received from SS Olympic, 1,400 miles off U.S. East Coast, 14 April, 1912. SS Titanic ran into iceberg, sinking fast. The message was received by a young telegraph operator, David Sarnoff, at Wanamaker's Department Store in Philadelphia. Many inventors and other interested parties began to imagine fresh ways of using this new device. Memorandum from David Sarnoff, former telegraph operator to Vice President Edward J. Nally of the Marconi Wireless Telegraphy Company of America, 1915. I have in mind a plan of development which would make radio a household utility in the same sense as the piano. The idea is to bring music into the home by wireless. The receiver can be designed in the form of a simple radio music box and arranged for several different wavelengths, which could be changeable with the throwing of a single switch or pressing of a single button. If only 1 million families thought well of the idea, it would yield considerable revenue. Sarnoff's memo was rejected. A decade later, in the 1920s, sales of radio apparatuses by the company he founded, RCA, had made it one of the most powerful industrial firms in the world. Radio transformed every country where it was introduced. Although telegraphs and telephones sent messages at extremely high speed, they still could only link one individual with another. Radio waves, however, weren't locked within a narrow copper wire. Since the physical nature of those waves is to spread in all directions, radio sent its information so widely that the term broadcasting became the popular way to describe this new effect. Suddenly, national brands became far more popular to shoppers than they had before. Local sports teams increasingly attracted a nationwide fan base. The cult of celebrity, as with Hollywood stars, became even more widespread. Listeners felt that radio broadcasts were being aimed personally at them. And politics changed as well. Adolf Hitler, Mein Kampf. All propaganda has to appeal to the people, and its intellectual level has to be set in accordance with the receptive capacities of the most limited persons among those to whom it intends to address itself. The larger the mass of men to be reached, the lower its purely intellectual level will have to be set. Even from the most impudent lie, something will always stick. In America, the demagogues who used radio to spread their message always remained in a minority. But in Japan and several European countries, it was different. The Nazi Party's innovative use of radio transmissions was a major factor in its electoral success in the years leading to 1933. As the 1930s went on, German tank commanders began practicing with radio command of large armored and aerial formations they could use to destroy neighboring countries. A few researchers in other countries began to wonder if the power embodied within radio waves could be enough to keep enemy war machines at bay. The British government especially wanted to know. The Royal Navy had long protected the country by sea. Would it be possible to use radio waves to protect it by air? From A.P. Rowe, Secretary of the Committee for the Scientific Survey of Air Defense, to H.T. Tizard, F.R.S., Rector of the Imperial College, 4 February, 1935. Dear Mr. Tizard, a copy of a secret memorandum prepared by Mr. Watson Watt on the possible uses of electromagnetic radiation for air defense is enclosed herewith.